everyone, and welcome to the latest Fancast episode. It's little Dan here. They've let me have the reins tonight. It's as chaotic as our match against Arsenal, 2-1 win at Molineux. Tonight I've got with me Andy, Jordan and Kim, going to help me run through how we got the win. Whether there was divine intervention or not, these are the guys who are going to run us through it. So, 2-1. Before the game, lineups came out. Wolves reverted back to a four at the back. Cody and Bolly, centre-halves. What was your thoughts on that, Andy?
I love the fact that our admin team at the Wolves just like to troll the fans now. Like, there's no way that Neto was ever going to be playing left wing back, but they stick it in there. I quite appreciate that level of shithousery. I think for the actual team, considering we haven't got a left back fit at the moment, it was probably as good as it could possibly be. I mean, I suppose you could have argued maybe put Semedo over to the left and Traore playing at right wing back, but we beat Arsenal playing four at the back before, so why not go at him again, I think.
Jordan, you see sort of Max Kilman or Neto as the left-sided defender at Wolves tonight. And what's your thoughts then? Was there even any possibility that Nuno might have done something outrageous and had Neto left wing back?
I'll pray he didn't, but how it's been going recently, I thought it wouldn't shock me to see our most creative player playing left wing back, would it? You really playing an extra 20 yards back? Yeah, like you say, best out of a bad situation. I don't think Hove did anything wrong necessarily against Palace, but a bit too safe for me. And Semedo kept coming inside, and we were so out of, you know, we weren't balanced last week against Palace. So yeah, before the game, I was quite happy with it, seeing Kilman left back. We'll get on to his performance, I'm sure. It ain't his fault, but I don't really want to see him at left back ever again, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's not one for the football purists, having Max Kilman left back. I don't know how long Saïss is going to be out for, but if Marcel and Johnny Castro-Otto are not back anytime soon, we've missed a trick not getting a left back in this window. I don't know what Scott Goldbourne's doing, but we've missed a trick. Kim, Neves, Matinho, centre mid, your favourite, Dendonka, doesn't make the 11. How happy were you with that?
I suppose you could say I was pleased that Dendonka didn't start. I don't think he deserved, you know, with his performances lately, obviously he didn't deserve to start at all. I would have liked to have, this is before the start of the game, I would have liked to have seen Otisawi start with Neves, I thought. But yeah, obviously, as we go into the game, we quickly saw that, I suppose, Matinho didn't have one of his off games, didn't spray any passes out of play like he did in the last game. So yeah, I suppose you could say I was happy in terms of at least Neves came back, who I would have hoped that could control the midfield a little bit more.
You know me, guys, I'm naturally quite negative when it comes to Wolves. What is everyone seeing in Otisawi that he seems to be an answer compared to what Dendonka brings? Because to me, they're both gangly, run about the pitch, but I don't see much technical ability from Otisawi so far to justify him starting games for us.
Personally, I think with Otisawi, it's the unknown. Like, he could be a world beater. We don't know how shit he is yet. Like, we've only seen him in fits and starts. And when you look at the players that we've seen getting extended runs in the team, what is he doing wrong to not get a run out over Matinho or Dendonka, who obviously I know tonight's a different game, but over the last few weeks, they've both been terrible. So why not give him that opportunity?
And I think when he came on against Chelsea to make his debut, in his proper position, I believe, centre midfield, I know he's been playing at centre back in the under-23s, I think he did really well. But if I remember rightly, since then, he's been played like off the striker and God knows where else, everywhere apart from his actual position. So before the game, I would have liked to have seen him sort of start in alongside Neves.
We were sort of under the cosh for the sort of first maybe 15, 20 minutes. Bukayo Saka hit the post. It did seem that we were struggling to get a foothold in the game. The guy won in front. Do you feel it's going to be one of those nights where the floodgates was going to open against us, Jordan?
I text my mate during the game and I said, that first 15, 20 minutes felt like peak Wolves when we used to go to Pride Park, when they used to stuff us 4 or 5. Every time we went forward, I just thought, goal. It was like Tom Ince and Chris Martin had come all the way back to give me fucking nightmares.
If Raul was Johnny Russell just causing Carl Akimi nightmares.
Literally, honest to God, I was watching it, I just shit myself every time I went forward. And I think, let's not beat around the bush. Like, in terms of, I was one that said, look, before the game, we just need to get our best attacking players out on the pitch, create chances, take them, and that's the best way to play. I firmly believe after watching that, and again, we've won the game, and I don't want to be negative because, you know, it's first win in 8, but I don't think we've got the squad to play a back four. Like, the back four and, basically Moutinho and Neves tonight, in terms of, we just haven't got the players. Like, we've got to get Adama, Pedence, Neto, Willian, Jose on the pitch. But, God, we look so shaky at the back. Like, I don't think relegation was ever a real, real question. But we need, if we want to play for, you know, this style of football going forward, we need to make 3-4 signings next summer at the back and give ourselves a foundation just to be able to play. Like, you've seen what Man United have done. Like, Man United are getting the best out of the team now and getting results because they put Fred and McTominay in front of the back four, not to be fancy, just to break up play, screen the defence and let the better players play. You know, your Brunos, your Rashfords, your Cavani's, Martial's, Pogba's. They're doing the dog work, and that's almost what I feel like you need in this system. You need 2 shuttlers to protect the back four, and also you need proper centre-halves there. And yeah, look, I don't want to go too much into it, but I think that's something that does need addressing. I think every Wolves fan knows it as well. We need to address the back four moving forward.
We've commented numerous times about the recruitment policy, which has quite visibly gone wrong. If we were transitioning to a back four this season, why we haven't brought in a proper centre-back to go alongside Bolly? Where do we go forward with this? Do we persevere with a back four again against Leicester? It seems disastrous to even think about contemplating that with, like what you said, with the midfield that we've got and the lack of a left back at the moment.
I'd say yes, because, sorry Kim, I was just going to say, I'd say yes just because Vardy's out, so you haven't got to worry too much about a threat behind. Like, they played a false nine on the weekend, so yeah, you don't have to worry about too much of them running behind you. So I would carry on with it. And I think, I don't fear it's going down. So if this is the future, you might as well play it. And look, we might get beat 4 or 5 a couple games. We might concede 3, 4, 5. But you've got to persevere it. Sorry, Kim.
No, it's all right. No, all I was going to say was, to be fair though, is it just the formation? Because in that first half, we weren't even closing players down. I feel like we weren't at it at all. Like, and I'm not saying that's a lack of passion necessarily, but I think it's a lack of it was a lack of confidence, personally, I think. And I think even if we played a back five in the first half, we weren't getting close to them at all. I'm not sure that the formation would have affected how we played in the first half, personally. Albeit you could say if we'd have played Kilman not at left back and at centre back, then we might have looked a bit more balanced. But yeah, I agree with you in the sense that a back four definitely makes us more open and we don't have the centre backs to play it. But at the same time, I think we have to just try and persevere with it, because I feel like we could still go on a run and score some goals. So I've gone the opposite way now, just keep going with it, I'd say.
Yeah, it's difficult to get that balance, I think, because when we play with 3 up front, there's no cohesion between the front 3. So do you sacrifice attacking cohesion for defensive solidity? Or do you think, okay, attack is the best form of defence and we'll try and get a couple of goals and hope we don't concede too many? But as Jordan said tonight, like, we had 3 attacks against us. They hit the post with the first one. They scored with the second one that was disallowed and then scored a proper with the third one. So it's about finding that balance. And yeah, we haven't got the players for it. And I do think the midfield is going to be key to protecting it. You'd hope someone like Dendonka would be the shield that we need. When we've seen him play as a defensive midfielder, he's done a very good job. But it's not the role that Nuno seems to want him to play. He wants him to get forward, which I find odd because he cannot shoot for shit. So I don't know why he wants him in the box all the time.
I think it's purely because he's the only one out of the three first-team centre midfielders that can get up and down the pitch.
Probably
in terms of, you know, Neves and Moutinho, the technicians, and Dendonka's the only one who can break the box. And Dan said it on the last podcast about, you know, if we had Thomas Souček, or you know what I mean? It's that we haven't got that sort of body. But you need, you know, look, okay, like my argument there with the 4-2-3-1, you look at West Ham, they've got two sitters. They've got Royce and Souček. Souček actually pops up and gets goals, but I think you've got to get a fact to play well. We're not a team, we're not Man City, we're not Liverpool, we're not going to have 80% of the possession of the ball every game. So I almost feel like if you want to play this system, you've got to have just two that are just going to do dog work. And then Dendonka can do that. But we need, I think it'll be interesting to see in the summer whether, even if Neves is, if you want to persevere with this, Neves is obviously a class act on the ball, but I don't know if he's the right sort of player to play that system. That would be my question.
No, I agree with that. My 1-4, it's never even sort of been attempted once, obviously because there's always been Neves and Moutinho have always been fit. We talk about two defensive midfielders whom, to put it politely, you want two shithouses. Why have we never tried Saiss and Dendonka doing that job? Two proper out and out centre midfielders who know how to do the ugly work. Both of them do box-to-box. Both have got a decent scoring record for defensive midfielders. You know, it's just an option. The jury's still out on Nelson Semedo. He was at fault for the first goal, but was I thought he did okay up until that moment. I thought he had a decent game tonight.
I thought he was an outside shot for man of the match. If you take away his contribution to their goal, he was outstanding, overlapping, playing the ball and moving on, creating space, getting into the middle, had a shot. He was like playing at number nine at one point. He was front and centre. I thought he had a really good game. And he's getting better and better.
He drove us on so many times during that game, just through pure effort. He seemed to be one of the ones where things were going against us. He was still trying his best. He may not have come off a lot of times, but he was always the one who was attempting to drive us on. And I was really impressed with his attitude tonight. What I said before the game was, I would have took a point before the game tonight. I just wanted to see a reaction to Saturday because I thought Saturday was massively demoralising. And I thought, even after we went 1-0 down, Nelson Semedo was still the one who was trying to get us forward. What was your thoughts on Semedo tonight, Keo? I know you're not a massive fan usually.
No, to be honest, I do agree. Like, I do think he had a decent game. And in terms of, you know, as you said, driving the team forward and, you know, he did have that sort of effort that the other players didn't have. But I'd still think, you know, for the goal, it was painful to watch. And I still don't trust him defensively. I still think he gets caught out too many times positionally. And I just dread every time a winger goes up against him, actually. I don't know why, I just do. And to be fair, he does defend some situations well. I'm not going to say he's atrocious, but sometimes he doesn't do himself justice. He does look awful defensively. But then, yeah, on the other hand, I thought he did well. He had one shot, didn't he, the goalie parried at one point in the first half. But, yeah, I wouldn't go as far as man of the match, but I thought he did okay. But I'm guessing most people will remember his performance tonight for that error for the goal.
Thoughts on Nelson tonight, Andy?
I thought he was great. Like, outside shot for man of the match. I know he had that one cock up, but yeah, I thought he was really good.
Jordan?
I like Semedo. I really do. Like, the slander when he first came was fair. But up until the goal. I mean, are we going to break the goal down, or are we going to get onto that? Or should I just say,
you get your spade out and dig in, Jordan. It's your time. Go for it.
Thanks, mate. Cheers. He was great, and then that goal. If you saw that down the players down Wimbledon on a Sunday, you'd be fuming. You really would. You wouldn't be able to go show your face in the pool bar after that. It was just embarrassing, wasn't it? Between him, Neves, Cody was screaming at the ref instead of trying to defend, and I don't really know what he was trying to do. But you can't do that, can you, as professional footballers? Like, and again, that was his blip. And I don't want to get caught up on it. We've won the game. I'm not being negative, but he's got to do better, hasn't he? I think it's lapses of concentration with him. That's what it is. Like, I think there's a real good player in there, but some of the stuff he does is quite basic errors. And I'm sure it'll come. It will come, but that goal was a bit inexcusable, wasn't it, really, from our point of view?
I thought with the goal, like, the ball back from Neves was fucking atrocious. Yeah, like, it was a really difficult one for him to control. So the fact that when he lost it, I wasn't overly concerned. The issue was then he never got back in front of Pepe. That was where the issue was, is that Pepe was just beyond him at that point. So really, Cody needed to be doing more. And he just went through Cody like he wasn't there. But I've just seen, just to slightly backtrack on Semedo, in the group chats, Adam Price has put in some stats from tonight's game from Semedo. He had the most touches, the second most passes, the most tackles, the most clearances, and the most blocks. So, like, he had an all-round good game for me, attacking and defending.
What more can you ask from
the... But then at this level, you can't be making those mistakes, can you? Like, you can't be getting megged and getting the winger go past you, like, with that much ease. That's the most frustrating thing. He's almost got a mistake in him, but then the 90 other percent of the game, he's decent. So it's just frustrating. But then, to be fair to him, Neves and Cody were just as bad for that goal, because they were literally, mm-hmm. they were just standing off. And actually, I think that's worse than the fact that he just got into a complete, Semedo got into a bit of a muddle and just got megged. Whereas Neves and Cody literally just stood there. So for me, that was worse, the goal.
Is there no sort of appreciation for the lack, for Nicolas Pepe getting himself in that position? If that would have been Traore, you'd have been saying fair play, in my opinion.
It's
good play.
Excellent work, yeah.
It's good play. It's just when you know, it doesn't matter who you are, when someone picks the ball like 45 yards out, 40 yards out, and essentially runs through two men, and your skipper's, I don't know what he was doing. It shouldn't happen, should it, really? That's the frustration. It was just a bit easier, wasn't it? And the way that we've been going as well, as soon as that went in, I just thought, we've got, the alarm bell started ringing. I just thought, we're in trouble here. Big time.
Do any of you think Rui could have maybe have done better?
No. it was right in the corner of the goal. Like, it would have been Superman if he'd been able to get across that far.
I would like to say I'm Rui, though.
The one angle wasn't flattering for him, where he seemed to pull his hand away. And, I mean, Matt Murray would have got an hand to it, I'm sure.
And Stefan Posmer, I'm sure, as well.
Yeah.
No, I just want to say on Patricio, because we've... I think collectively that people have given him a bit of stick on here, myself included. He made two really good saves in the first half, and he didn't have to do anything second half, to be fair to him, but, you know, credit where it's due. I thought he made a cracking save when he pushed... Was it Saka again? Or was it Pepe when he hit the bar before they scored? Was it Pepe? He pushed onto the bar and went out for throwing. Yeah, look, I thought he was good tonight in terms of what he had to do with his work, and that's all we can ask for, really. We're going to be giving up more chances, so we need him more than ever, to be honest with you, carry on with four at the back.
I think he's almost become a bit of a scapegoat, actually. I don't think he's not covered himself in glory in terms of, like, the last game. I thought Palace, he could have, for me, he should have saved that. But I think he's just gone from not having a lot to do in previous seasons, I suppose, and coming up with, like, the odd worldy save, to now we're not, like, conceding hundreds of goals, but then the goals that we are conceding, it's like, could he have? But one, John Ruddy's not going to come in, is he? Because he's hopeless generally, and two, he's not been awful. I don't understand. Patricio's never going to come off his line, is he? That's just, he's never done that in the whole time he's been here. And he's not one of these goalies that shouts a lot like Ruddy does. He doesn't, you know, organise the defence. But that's how he is. And he's not going to change that just because we're in a bad run of form. So I think he's done okay, although he hasn't had loads of worldly saves to make. It just seems that every shot that goes near him, he kind of lets in. That's the conundrum, isn't it, really?
I think that's one of the main ingredients of Project Fear that's going on in Wolves Twitter world at the moment, replacing Rui for Ruddy's. So I say he's never been a keeper that commands his box, and his shot stopping has always been his main forte. And obviously recently has let in a lot more goals than what you'd expect of him, but he's still head and shoulders probably one of the better goalkeepers in the league. So we could have been easily have been 2-3-0 down before Daniel Podence picks the ball up in his best number 10 position, plays William Jose through, which looks like he's going to break his duck in front of the north bank, and out of nowhere, Sideshow Bob appears. And what's your opinions on the penalty, Jordan? Enough contact? Is it a straight red? What's your thoughts?
It's the ruling, isn't it? And it's the ruling. That's the thing, isn't it? I think it's a penalty. And, you know, like I'm taking it unbiased now, watching it now. I don't think he's meant to bring him down with his knee. He has reached for him. He's tried to pull him back. And, you know, but he didn't reach him with his arm. His knee caught his leg. And I think, I don't know, being unbiased, it's a bit harsh, but the rule's there. Like, it's a goal-scoring opportunity. It wasn't a clear and obvious play for the ball. So it's a professional foul. So it's a red card, isn't it? You know, it's just typical Arsenal, isn't it? Peak Arsenal, when you think about it. Like, they were in cruise control, weren't they? They just shot themselves in the foot. And, you know, we had to capitalise on it and take advantage of it. And, yeah, look, I thought, you know, that's where you want to see Podence. That's where he can hurt teams. 30, 40 yards out, on the turn, head up, and picking past. Like, don't get me wrong, it wasn't like a unbelievable assist, but that's where you want Podence playing. You don't want him shifted out on the right wing. He's ineffective over there. You want him affecting the game through the centre of the pitch. And it was a decent ball, like I say, and William Jose has done what all good strikers do, which is get your first step across the defender. They're either going to bring you down or they're going to give you a free shot on goal. So he's done everything he could as well. So, yeah, unfortunately,
but
I think he's a red card.
Do you not think that Fabio Silva probably wouldn't have made that run? I'm not slating Fabio Silva, but I just don't feel like he would have.
The movement in terms of, I guess the movement that William made, that step across the defender to get his body in front of the ball and protect it, is what Fabio did against the Albion to take his goal. So, look, I think William Jose has looked really impressive in his two starts for us. He's big, he's physical, he's strong. He's definitely what we've been missing. And it's a good signing for me so far. I think he'll end up getting goals for us. Like, he's always in the box. He looks a threat when the ball goes in there as well. And I think it's a good signing. So I'm hoping we end up signing him permanently in the summer, because I think he's exactly what we need.
I think the ball sticks in the box, doesn't it? The ball, literally, you know, you never feel like he's going to lose the ball when it comes to him. He's always going to hold it up. Whereas with Fabio, I'm not slating Fabio. I don't want it to make sense. I'm slating Fabio. But sometimes he could, you know, due to his, you know, age, inexperience, he could lose the ball. Whereas you feel like if we go back to five and we're playing, I don't know, Liverpool, Man City away, you feel like he could do a job of holding the ball up. Laying it off, just keeping it simple. Even if he doesn't score, I feel like he brings a lot to the team.
Yeah, overall he was brilliant again, wasn't he? Flawless in every time he's asked to take control of possession for us, holding the ball up. Just his basic passes and bringing our midfielders. I mean, there was like 2 or 3 chances he spread it to either Semedo or Traore, where recently we probably would have went back to Cody Bolling, ended up back at Rue before he's run back up to Silver, when we're just constantly fighting ourselves. And, you know, I'm naturally negative. Ruben never steps up for the penalty. Was there ever any doubt that he was going to put it away, or was our season riding on this penalty?
The problem is Neves has got a record of missing penalties. So I've got to admit, I was bricking it when he stepped up. I thought, this is the keeper's going to save it. But actually, he's taken like one of the best penalties I've seen from a Wolves player in quite some time. Top corner job, sent the keeper the wrong way. It was perfect. And I'm hoping that you're right in saying that that is going to be like the penalty that's going to turn the season around. It definitely turned the game around for obvious reasons. But that's given us a platform to build on for the rest of the season now. We've needed 3 points desperately for quite some time, obviously. And now we've got them. Hopefully that will breed a little bit of confidence and they can take that forward into the next game and the next game after that.
Was it squeaky bum time in the jury quarter, Kim, when he stepped up?
Well, actually, I was on the Twitter admin, as you know, and before he'd scored the goal, I'd got my tweet ready that he'd scored. And then I thought, oh, I really shouldn't have done that because I feel like he's going to miss now. And luckily, he scored. And it was a great, great penalty. But yeah, I felt like I'd almost jinxed us before he'd even stepped up, to be fair.
I'd literally been saying the last couple of days, I said it to a friend at work, you've got to get money on Neves to score tonight because he's had a baby the other day. And it's always little things like that where you think, mm-hmm. you know, the thumb in the mouth celebration, just daft little things that are foreseen happening. Did I bet on it? Did I heck? So we go into half time, 1-1. You're thinking, blimey, David Luiz has given us a get a jail free card there. Are you envisaging Nuno making any changes at that point, or are we just sticking with it and hoping that with the extra man advantage, we've got the attacking players to go and win the game, Jord?
For me, with the current run we're on, it was just, we're not probably going to get a better opportunity now. I just thought, you know what, you just got to throw the kitchen sink at it here. Just win the game. Just go and win the game. And, you know, what happened, I guess. We'll get onto the goal in a minute. But, like I said, I've got no faith in us defending. Like, defending at the moment, like, we look quite poor, really, defensively. So, the only way to go was just keep on the front foot and just try and pin them back. And we did it, look, we did it, absolutely. So, fair play to them. So, yeah, that was my opinion at half-time, is you've got to throw the kitchen sink at it. So even if we'd have drawn at that point, it'd have felt like a defeat, wouldn't it, really, with how everything else had been going. It'd have just been so doom and gloom out there. And, yeah, obviously, the magic man rolled back the years and popped one in the top bins, didn't he?
I'm not sure if there's a Portuguese equivalent of humble pie, but Wolverhampton's eating all inclusive tonight if there is some in the Moutinho oven. Andy, sum up his goal.
It's unreal. Like, we've seen him take some absolute dirge shots that barely get towards the goal, let alone clear it. And he's just hit it so perfectly. Like, I think if he hadn't have hit it like that, if it had been an inch any other way, that's not going in. The keeper's got it covered, all bar that one tiny sliver of the goal. And that's exactly where he's hit. Like, it was genuine perfection. It's what you associate with a player that you call the GOAT. And he showed tonight why he's had that moniker for so long amongst Wolves fans. I know his name's been dragged through the mud like for the last few months, but tonight, yeah, like you say, rolled back the years and showed people that he can still do it.
The thing that stood out for me mostly after his goal, and I know we had the men advantage, but even his intent and his driving us forward was a lot more noticeable tonight than it was against Chorley, for instance, where they had a lot of men behind the ball, but he just seemed to be picking the safe pace too many times. Whereas tonight, the confidence just seemed to grow as soon as we took that lead tonight throughout the team. As I mentioned earlier, Adama Traore was causing Cedric nightmare after nightmare. His calves and hamstrings will be sore tonight, Cedric's will. Kim, what was your thoughts on Adama tonight? Don't sound too excited.
I thought he had bursts of brilliance to a point, but I still can't get past the fact that he's just not the same player as last season. You could say he was promising, the fact that he, you know, but Cedric is like probably just slower than me. he's just, yeah, like you'd expect him to go past Cedric, wouldn't you? Really?
She's posted a couple of Insta stories doing a 5K run, and now she's faster than a Premier League fallback.
Yeah. Mo Farah, the jewellery quarter.
But this is the point. I'm not fast.
Endurance.
I'm slow. But what I'm trying to say is Troy Allray should obviously get past Cedric, but I still don't feel like he had... He made enough of, you know, they're down to 9 men, for God's sake. He didn't do enough for me. Maybe I'm being harsh. I still think there's more to come, and I still think I'd carry on playing him because he's such a confidence player that you put him back on the bench now for Sunday and it's almost like it's back to square one. He needs a run of games again to get that confidence back, I think.
What was your thoughts on Adama tonight, Andy? I mean, apart from sort of actually getting an assist, I thought the majority of his balls into the box was quite promising for him tonight compared to usual.
In the first half, and I think this was a trait of a lot of players in the first half, he didn't know whether he was going near post or far post, and he kept getting caught in two minds consistently. And then I think as the game grew on and as everyone else got more confidence, so did he. Like you say, he did have Cedric on toast numerous times. And once he's got that final ball worked out, and I know we've been saying this for a long time, but the assists will come. He does need to start getting a bit more centrally for me because that pace is just electric. If we can start to utilise that in other ways other than just getting dust chalk on your boots, like there is something else there with him, but obviously that'll come with time, hopefully. But yeah, I thought he had a decent game. I think the first half was just a little bit indifferent, personally.
We've been asking for it for quite a long while now, and to a degree it happened. The ball goes over the top and Adama's chasing onto it. Leno comes out and does what he does. Can someone describe to me what is going through Leno's mind at that point?
He's come, hasn't he? It's obviously wet. The ball's bounced up and I just think he's gone, oh shit. Like, I think he just completely misjudged it and he's gone, you know, he's looking at Troy Allray running on, thinking, well, if I let the ball go, it's a goal. I don't know what he was doing in terms of, he's just misjudged it, hasn't he? But he probably has done the right thing, you know, from his point of view. I mean, Troy Allray, he hadn't scored all season. He might have chipped over the ball, who knows? But you'd like to think he'd put that away, wouldn't you? So, yeah, look, I think he's just...
Did you used to be a goalie, Jordan? Because I don't know how you're even trying to give him any sort of defence here. He's had an absolute... Do you know them sort of films where an old war vet has a moment and they get froze in time and all the deaths from previous times have gone by and he's just... I don't know what Leno thought he was doing or what he was attempting to do. He could have used his head. He could have tried to just do anything then use that part of his arm. It's... You talk, as I said earlier, Wolves fans have been saying for ages now, keep the faith. We've had a bit of divine intervention tonight because no way in a million years, if that was a repeated, Leno would do that again.
No, he wouldn't. There's no reason for him to be where he was. There isn't any reason for it, but I think what's happened is he's got that far, he's committed, and I don't know what he's done. He's obviously committed, so he's got to carry on with the action, but then, I don't know, he's just fucked it, hasn't he? Let's be honest. And it's either... stop it with your arm, just do something, I guess. Or Troy Allray's got a tap in, hasn't he? So, yeah, it's just one of them moments, isn't it? It's just brain, head loss. What was that, sorry?
Why didn't he use his feet? Why doesn't he use his feet? So you're saying he made the right decision. You mean
No, the thing is with a keeper, as soon as you make the decision... If you make a mistake, it's a goal, isn't it, normally? And it, like, it's just the problem is he shouldn't be his left hand corner of his box 25, 30 yards out trying to clear the ball. But as soon as he's made that decision and committed, he shouldn't be there for one. And then when he's got there, he's fucked it, hasn't he? That's what's happened. It's just a monumental error.
So if he made that decision, he should have gone through with it and at least cleared it rather than. Yeah, he almost forgot where he was, didn't he? It felt like.
Apart from Bernd Leno doing a Chun-Li spinning bird kick, I don't know what else he could have tried to do. He just shouldn't have been attempting to come out that far and doing what he did.
No way.
No.
But the thing is, he's in midair, and that's the thing. It looks like he's gone to head it. Stop, because he's actually hitting. It's no good for a pod, is it, visual? But it's like he's sort of halfway up his body in the air, isn't it? So he's almost like his head's over here. He's nowhere near the ball with his head. So I don't know what he's trying to do. I don't think he knows what he's trying to do either, to be honest with you. So.
Goalkeepers in short sleeve shirts just should not happen.
Don't trust them.
Don't trust them. Don't trust them with your kids either. So, I mean, apart from a few times where I think like Neto stunned Runnison's gloves, I don't really think William Jose had one chance where I think he stung Leno's gloves before we got sent off. We pushed for a third, but never really looked like coming, did it? And then as time goes on, you get to the last 5-10 minutes, are you starting to panic? This is pure prime Wolves. I'm going to blow with nine men at a 2-man advantage. What do you reckon, Andy?
Well, we looked so comfortable until like the 85th minute. And then somehow, I think it was Bukayo Saka managed to worm his way inside two of our players and then it was Bellerin, wasn't it? Then pulls it back and they get this glorious chance out of nowhere. And you just thought, Christ, we are going to blow this. And then we give away a free kick in the dying seconds, like just a complete nothing of a free kick, which they load the box for, and you think we're trying to make hard work for ourselves here. But luckily, like their shots never cleared our defence. Like it was quite easily blocked, so he didn't get testing Rui. So I think we managed the game pretty well from when we were 2-1 up and they were down to 9 men. Could have been a lot more scary than it was in the end, I think.
Definitely, as I think we all wanted before the game was important to get the 3 points tonight, no matter how we did it. But I thought we definitely made the most of the 2-man advantage, and we were very comfortable. We should have tried to get our goal if it's a bit better tonight with the advantage, really. So get the win. After this little quick break, we'll discuss Leicester, and we'll do a Twitter corner.
Hi everyone, Matt from Wolves Fancast here. If you're anything like me, time is of the essence these days. How am I meant to take training with my wonder kids on the managerial football simulation game that I'm not allowed to mention for legal reasons if I'm too busy worrying about my online media presence? Well, that's where our friends at pixelyetimedia.com come in. They're not just web designers, they're a creative agency that cover all of your design needs, from websites, brochures and signage, to marketing, logo design and branding. So go check them out at pixelyetimedia.com. They'll get you set up quicker than Adama Traore running at a terrified left back. Speaking of which, who's got my baby oil?
Hi guys, we're back. Little Dan here, Wolves Fancast. Going to talk about Leicester now on the back of the Arsenal win. Guys, I think we sort of briefly touched on it earlier. Do we stick with the back four or do we revert to five at the back? Obviously, bearing in mind that Leicester are still missing. May still be missing Jamie Vardy come the weekend. Are we pretty clear that we're sticking with the back four or not?
I think, as the Mandalorian would say, this is the way, isn't it now? This is literally it now. Like, we've got a win. You can't revert back to a five after a win, can you? I think...
Even though we had the win only came against 9 men?
This is the way, Dan. This is the way, I'm telling you. Like, literally.
The only way.
This is the only way now. Four at the back. Now, I just think, look, we've got... If this is the future, whether it's going to be painful or not till the end of the season, we just got to persevere with it. The only way we're going to get comfortable with it and get attuned to it is by carrying on playing it. Like I mentioned earlier, I think we can play four at the back against Leicester because... I think Vardy is out. He's had a hernia operation, hasn't he? So I think he's out still for a few more weeks.
No, he couldn't make it, apparently.
No, he could.
They said that he might make a game. I did read that on the FPL community the other day on Twitter.
I don't believe them. Don't trust them.
So that wouldn't be ideal.
Never trust the scouts. genuinely, I just think we've got to fight 5-5. Look, they're a good team, and they've got some good players, you know, Madison, Barnes, Tielemans. Pereira, Castagna, you name it, they've got good attacking threats, you know, all over the pitch. And I think you just got to go toe-to-toe with them at the minute. Like, you know, just swing. Because I think if we play passive or sit off them, they'll end up picking us off at some point, the way we're going at the minute. So I'll just trade punches with them, see where it gets there.
So I briefly missed this segment in the Arsenal review. Come Sunday, Leicester, who's your first name on the team sheet that was your man of the match against Arsenal? Kim?
Well, it's got to be Moutinho, hasn't it?
If you say so, I mean, that's your
choice. Moutinho's man of the match. Moutinho's man of the match tonight for me. And I don't think you can drop him, because I think as soon as he scored that goal, you could see something switched on in his head and he was back on it again. So, but saying that against Leicester, what I am worried about is how good in midfield they are centrally, with Tielemans, Maddison, Barnes. And as Jordan says, there's no point going five at the back, because inevitably we're gonna concede against Leicester, whatever team formation we play. They're good going forward. So I think the best way to go is just go with the same sort of team. Maybe not Kilman at left back. But the same formation at least, and just, you know, try and impose our attacking game on them. Because they've conceded a few lately, they've lost to Leeds. So it shows that if you pile on the attacks like Leeds do, then they are there for the taking.
I think that Leeds game was, I watched it, I think that's sort of the framework. They just kept peppering them, attacking them, putting them on the back foot, putting them under pressure, and it worked. And you know, Leicester have lost a few games this season where teams have gone at them, so I do think they're vulnerable themselves. So, you know, let's just go at them.
Who was your first name on the team sheet though, Jordan?
Well, Moutinho second half was magic. I really like William Jose. I'm literally number one fan now. Get him in, get him signed up, get him in the FPL team.
He's like a mix of Andy Mutch and Jimenez, ain't he?
I think he's great. You know, I genuinely think he could get 7 and 10 goals to the end of the season. That's my prediction.
If he was to score 7 goals against West Brom, would that be enough? He doesn't score any other game this season. We score 7 against West Brom.
If it sends them down, but how it went the other week, they'll probably score 8 if we score 7.
That's classic balls, isn't it? Andy, who was your man of the match? Who was your first name on the team sheet Sunday?
For me, I think it was probably Semedo. I know we've all said how great Moutinho was, but I thought Semedo was good both halves. That one mistake aside, I thought he had a really good game. He had an impact on it. Something a lot of people have been asking for him to do, he did. So can't really ask for more than that personally. But I do agree. I think Jordan's right. I think you've got to stick with 4. Get Neto and get Traore on the ball as much as you can. Try and get him round the back, down the wings against them. I think that's the best way to get Leicester, to be perfectly honest.
For those that care, because obviously I've got an esteemed opinion on the fan cast, my first name on the team sheet Sunday would be Adama Traore. I think the way that he finished that game tonight, his confidence will be sky high, and I think he's the first name on the team sheet come Sunday. What's our quick score predictions for the Leicester at home game? I'll come to you first, Andy.
2-0, Wolves. I think we'll win.
Kim?
Is it away or at home?
Home.
We're at home. We got beat away, remember.
Mm. 2-1. Wolves.
I have to check them for a moment. Jordan?
4-3. Repeat
Wolves, history. Yeah?
Yeah, well, yeah. Third time lucky. We'll get, you know, lightning strikes 3 times to say, don't they, apparently.
Are we? I assume. What channel are we on Sunday? For those that don't know, i.e., me.
Sky, no, isn't it? Is it Sunday? It was Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sunday at 2 p.m. on Sky Sports.
Sky Sports News.
So church in the morning, then 2 o'clock on Sky Sports. You love to see it. So I'll quickly jump over to Twitter corner. Jump through some of the messages. First one comes from Guisado De Cona. Would you rather get a European spot again, but be eliminated in the group phase, or finish 15th in the league?
What? So qualify for Europe and get knocked out, or come 15th?
Yeah, get into the Europa League, get eliminated in the group stage, bottom place, or finish 15th in the league. Seems pretty easy, that one, doesn't it? But I even added bottom of the group stage. So you lose all 6 games in the Europa League, or finish 15th in the league this season.
Well, Europe, obviously.
Yeah, Europe.
You don't get to go again, though, Jordan. It's because like I mentioned on my last podcast, we're never getting out of lockdown.
Yeah, well, yeah. Depends who you lose as well in the group.
So you see Wolves on a Sunday, we draw at home to Brighton, and then we get beat on the Thursday night by some Albanian team that we've never heard of, and that's just the constant weeks of just being broken-hearted by Wolves. Do you want that, or just want a simple 15th place finish?
I don't know. I think I still want it, just because it sounds exciting. But there's nothing else to get excited about, is there, really? So, yeah, I'll take Europe, I think, and get battered every Thursday as well.
We're all sort of in agreement, aren't we? We're going to Europe either way.
Absolutely.
We can just have a quick weekend in Benidorm while we get beat by Carabag or whatever. Aimless Balls at B Townley says, did Vitinha bury Morgan Gibbs-White with his performance tonight?
It was okay.
That chance that he missed at the end was quite poor.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, Gibbs-White's done nothing spectacular, but neither's Vitinha.
Sadly for me, I think Morgan Gibbs-White is burying himself with his social media activity in terms of getting involved in the spats. I think a lot of it's very uncalled for what's happened to him, 100%, and you know, he don't deserve that, but you've got to be able to rise above it, and I think that getting involved in it directly or indirectly, he's not helping himself, to put it politely.
I think he's just not doing himself any favours. If I was him, I'd just delete my Twitter account, I think.
Stop doing the YouTube videos, Morgan.
Yeah, and he's causing himself more hassle than it's even worth. But then again, I think him and Vitinha, neither one of them has done anything to say that they should be starting a game for Wolves, for me. You know, yeah, Vitinha scored a wonder goal against Chorley, but it was against Chorley and the goal he should have had it. So, yeah.
Are you in agreement here, Andy, or are these pair on a bandwagon of vitriol?
He's a young lad
with a social media account. We all occasionally post daft things. He's still not learned that everything that he does is under a microscope. But surely his experience will come and he will do the right thing in the end.
I certainly hope so. Like, I do think there is a player in there. Probably not for us, but like I do want him to go on and have a decent career. But if he keeps doing dickish things like he is on Twitter, and let's be honest, there are grown men who should delete their fucking Twitter apps. So it's not like it's just a thing of youth and what have you. He does need to think about it. He's a professional player. They have standards that they need to abide by, rightly or wrongly. Clubs don't want to get people who are going to be dickheads online because he doesn't look good for a club. So he does need to think about it just for his future. I don't want to tell him what he needs to be doing, but he probably just needs to think about it a bit more carefully before posting shit online.
A lot of other Twitter corner mentions that we had, one from our former esteemed leader, David Evans, and Scott WFC88, was just be positive. And I think for the majority of the podcast, we have folks, it's been a long time coming, the win, a positive podcast, but I feel like we've reached a level now where we can keep soaring as a social media channel and as a football club. So I'm going to quickly take us off to a tangent. What food is acceptable to eat with tomato ketchup? What's your limit? I mean, we had this conversation briefly off recording, and pretty much I eat a lot of things with ketchup where I probably shouldn't. What's your limit with ketchup, Andy?
To be honest, I don't really do much sauce. Ain't for me. The only time I have it is with like a cheese and potato pie. That's the only time I have tomato ketchup. I'd say does nothing for me.
Jordan?
I ain't a ketchup fan either. Sorry, I'm just not.
Not a fan, sorry. Kim.
Kim, these pears.
Well, I'd have ketchup with everything if I could. But I like sauce with most things. But yeah, ketchup, like Chinese, like people think that's weird. But I have to have ketchup with my Chinese. Like, I can't stand.
What?
And to be fair, with a curry, like if I've got like a Chinese with chips or curry with chips, I still have tomato ketchup. Even though you've got like the curry sauce and stuff, I still love ketchup.
Do you have the ketchup just for the chips, or would you like put your rice and stuff in there?
Oh no, just for the chips.
Okay, that's a little bit more acceptable.
Andy, yeah. let's just ascertain these two are lizards on the podcast.
There's
lizard people out there, and these two are lizards. Ketchup eating lizards.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll happily say that I've put tomato ketchup on ready salted crisps.
No.
You gotta live a little. I'm a saucy guy. One last question before we call it a night. When you get dressed, is it trousers then socks or socks then trousers?
Socks then trousers. What kind of monster puts their trousers on and then socks? That's just wrong.
I'm thinking about lockdown life. Get out the PJs to the joggers to walk the dog. Yeah, joggers, socks, out you go.
But do you put socks on over your joggers then or something?
No, I don't tuck them in. I'm not a freak. I wear my socks properly. I don't tuck my joggers into my socks.
Stop lying, John. You still wear a wool shirt over a jumper for match days?
that's just Stu, isn't it?
Yeah, Mr. Under Armour in the house. Doesn't want to put the heating on. Tight git. And I think on that note, we'll call it a night. Wars and back to winning ways. We move on to Leicester on Sunday. Lady and gentlemen, say your goodbyes. Andy.
See you later, everyone.
Jordan.
See you later. Just a quick shout out to IB for Wolves. I said I'd be positive, and I think I've been positive. So no stick for me on Twitter tonight, please.
Get the shots ready on the Balearic Islands. We're on our way. Kim.
Good night, everyone.
And it's from me. Cheerio.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a new season we recommend.
I'm Sam Bungie, one of the hosts of West Cork, a story about a community on the far south coast of Ireland that became a kind of paradise for people looking for a fresh start.
And nobody knew their past. You could be who you wanted to be, rather than who you really were.
Then one newcomer was murdered and another was suspected of doing it.
I see him in the market, and really, he's always trying to be normal and trying to get people to like him. But we all know, don't we?
Listen to West Cork now on Acast.
Acast recommends.